Looking for excitement? Chumba Casino is here. Play anytime, play anywhere. Play on the train, play at the store, play at home, play when you're bored. Play today for your chance to win and get daily bonuses when you log in. So what are you waiting for? Don't delay. Chumba Casino is free to play.
Experience social gameplay like never before. Go to Chumba Casino right now to play hundreds of games, including online slots, bingo, Slingo, and more. Live the Chumba life at ChumbaCasino.com.
Terms and conditions apply. Our yoga instructor challenged us to find inner peace. I found it faster than anyone. After 4 seconds, I stood up and screamed,
"I found nirvana! I win!"
They asked me to leave. I guess they don't respect winning. Bet365 does, though. New customers get $200 in bonus bets just for betting $10. Namaste, losers. Bet365. Winning is everything. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-MY-RESET. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Third hour on this Tuesday afternoon. Darren McFarland, Willie Donick, and Derek Mason with you. We're just talking about Titans rookies. We'll begin the third hour with this. Jonathan Hutton from Outkick 360 joins us. Jonathan, there's two guys, two rookies on this roster that I'm very, very intrigued to see how they're going to handle the pressure. Fair, unfair, doesn't matter. They're going to have pressure and they're going to have expectations for different reasons. Let's start with what we were talking about. You've been covering the team for a long time. They've, you know, drafted Corey Davis, 5th overall. Fair, unfair, that's the tag he got. First receiver taken. Never could live up to the billing. Had to deal with that the whole time. And kind of came in late, as we were talking about, and was behind the eight ball his rookie year, as you know. Kenny Britt dealt with injuries. We were just kind of going through the list. Who was Kendall Wright from Baylor, yeah. Right? He dealt with the same thing, and they just never really recovered from that. And I know it's small, it's Titans minicamp, it's not that big, but you know how this works. I mean, A.J. Brown missed a lot of time, and fair or unfair, he's going to be in those A.J. Brown shoes. How do you think he's going to handle this rookie season in particular?
It's so unpredictable, Darren, and I'm sure you guys have discussed this. Like, you just rattled off a bunch of guys that were supposed to be the guy that broke the mold. And we know the history of receiver in this town. You know, from D-Mace to A.J. Brown, there is a barren wasteland of expectations not met. And some good players, you know, I don't want to rip every single one that came through, but it's not like these guys came in, grabbed the bull by the horns, and just immediately meet expectations of what was set forth and where they were drafted. It's very difficult to do. The great ones can do it. And fair or unfair, I think it's fair. Treylon Burks is going to be judged based on A.J. Brown's production with the Titans offense. I know we're going to spend a lot of time, we as the Nashville community, watching him in Philly and comparing that production to hear, but I mean, I was looking at the tight ends last year, comparing their production to what Jonnu Smith did here, not in New England, and because I knew what he meant to the offense. I think Burks has a chance to get closer to meeting that bar if the offense gets back to what Tannehill does best: two tight end running the football. That's where A.J. Brown was flourishing too. It's not like last year he lit it up. So I think Burks is, if, and there's a lot of ifs with this. He's the real deal if he comes in and takes over without having anything around him go well. For instance, if Robert Woods has some type of setback, he's kind of the forgotten signing of the offseason. They've got to make sure he's ready to go. But if they pair him with the rookie and things get out of the gate okay with this offense, Burks will gradually come along well. If not, there's a lot of pressure on him week in and week out. Guys can step up and do it. Some guys can't, and he's got to be a great player for them. He just can't be okay. He's got to be someone that you know he's going to show up and perform well week in and week out.
Yeah, they're just not in a position to ease in with him. It's just not going to be the case. So with that being said, now that we can, you know, openly talk about gambling and it's not taboo, and we're talking about over and unders and all that stuff on our shows now, if you were to assess, if you were putting a line out there for over-under catches his first season, what would you put that number at?
like 65. Ooh. I mean, I think they're going to throw it to him. I think they're going to throw it to him a lot.
Okay.
But I think they're going to be spreading it around a lot. They have brought in Robert Woods. Look, I like what they did in the draft on offense as much as anybody. But I think this is more about who they have coming back and what they did in free agency than relying on specifically one or two guys within the draft. I think they want to bring those guys along. We can all laugh at that. That's just what they do with literally every rookie who comes into camp. And they try to make sure that the veterans around them produce. To me, Henry, LaJuan, Jones, those guys, that core group that they truly invested in, stepping up and making a big impact statement on the season, more than it is any rookie that's coming in. But so, and I would put Robert Woods in that mix because he was a very steady player for the Rams. Not a number one guy, but he's got to be that rock at wide receiver that can get them through whenever they're waiting on these rookies to come through and produce. I'm not putting a ton of expectations on Burks right out of the gate, and I'm not treating him like a number one, I guess is what I'm saying, because I don't think that when A.J. Brown came in, he was treated like a number one either. He took that role. Burks can take it. But I wouldn't bet on any rookie coming in and taking it within this offense and how this offense and framework works.
Now, Hood, looking at this offense and them losing A.J. Brown and them not knowing exactly. Listen, I think Derrick Henry is going to come back and be the same old Derrick Henry. Will he get 2,000 yards? I don't know, but he will still be that powerful, aggressive runner that defenses have to pay attention to. With that being said, where does this offense go? And you just talked about it, two tight ends, you know, two wides, play action. You think that's what they're going to get back to?
Yes, I do. Like, I'm smiling as you say that, but that's how they're built. Mm-hmm. Like, they doubled down on it because they re-signed Ben Jones in a nondescript that he's kind of the glue of their offensive line. They've got some young pieces that'll be playing beside him. They're going to bet on Nate Davis gradually improving. They're going to have a rookie right tackle. And then LaJuan, if he can stay healthy, will be the other piece at left tackle. And D-Mace, you know this better than anyone that could speak on this. I look at contracts and length of contract. Mm-hmm. And it's not just Tannehill's contract that I'm paying attention to. Whenever they signed Derrick Henry to that extension, these were the years where, and I don't mean this as a negative, it may sound that way, they can run him into the ground if they so choose. And I think they will. For the last 2 years, we have been discussing load management with him. And when it comes to game time, they don't count carries for him. It doesn't matter what down and distance it might be, they're turning around, or what the score is. Down and distance, yes. What the score is on, if they're down double digits, if they're down 17 in the third quarter, the offense still goes through 22. As funny as that sounds, because that's also where you get the best out of Tannehill off play action. Tannehill 2 years ago was great on play action, second down passing. That's where they really flourished with Corey Davis and A.J. Brown. And I think they're getting back to that, and a great signal that they are, other than Arthur Smith. You're going to be hard-pressed to find another play caller who ran more 12 personnel than Tim Kelly did in Houston. And he is now the passing game coordinator. So to me, they're signing him to do that, not do something different.
We'll talk with Jonathan Hutton. You can catch him on Twitter at Hutton Outkick and Outkick360. Now, here's a two-part question for you, because a lot of people are looking at the defense and they're saying, hey, listen, this should be the same defense or even better than what it was last year. Well, they lost some corners and they're getting younger and inexperienced at the corner position. And you know, in this day and age, there's a bunch of really good pass catchers, which means you have to have a bunch of really good guys that can cover those pass catchers. One, do you think this defense can elevate itself? And then two, if indeed they can elevate themselves, where does that put the Titans in the South, even after losing A.J. Brown?
Oh, it's a great point. I think they can. Mm-hmm. because I think the pass rush is going to be much healthier right out of the chute this year than the gradual progression that they made outside of Harold Landry, who in a contract year put up some big numbers. Bud Dupree, a year removed from the ACL, he's back in the mix in the full fold. You can count on him. I look at the pass rush and think how much they're going to truly help the defensive backs. I like the way Kevin Byard rebounded after a poor season for his standards and played last year. Just looked much more comfortable. And the Roger McCreary draft pick in the second round, while I kind of did a double take at the time because I was on with you guys right before the second round and said I thought they might go tight end, and they went defensive back and they went corner. And that's, to me, I mean, McCreary's a really good player. But you're right. They've got some young pieces at corner, and now they add him in as he's more than insurance, but he's just a sticky corner that they can put on some of the bigger receivers. That's what he did at Auburn in the SEC, where he didn't back down and he didn't panic in SEC play. So who knows about Caleb Farley? Let's be honest with that one. But if he comes in and performs in year number two the way Jeffrey Simmons, after he was drafted injured, comes in and performs, they're on to something. If not, then we're going to see a lot more of McCreary and Farley in kind of a tag team tandem on the outside, and they'll have their other pieces elsewhere to manage. But I think their pass rush can wreak some havoc this year. I think they actually take a big step forward in that department, and ultimately their defense improves because of all of that.
A lot invested there. You really hope that that's the case. Jonathan Hutton is with us from Outkick. Hutt, I want to ask you about Robert Woods, because this is sort of a segue from the pass rush. Remember last year, Bud Dupree was coming off the ACL, and he had a goal. I want to be ready on week one. He tried so hard, but the reality was he wasn't quite himself for a good while there. He might have even rushed it by his own account. What do you think is realistic for Robert Woods? I think we all want him to be ready for week one. You have any inkling of what the Titans really think is realistic there?
So if my timeline is correct, his ACL happened about 3 weeks before Bud Dupree's, if we're looking at the calendar. Bud Dupree's happened that first week of December on a random Wednesday night during the COVID year. And last year, Robert Woods happened, his ACL took place in November. Literally, it was either the day, but it was in practice. It was the day before they brought in, or the day after they signed Odell Beckham Jr. to the Rams. So I think he's got a couple of weeks, for lack of a better way to put this, head start on recovery.
Okay.
But Willie, I mean, I over the years, it is so hard to judge these things.
Yeah, everybody's different, because, right?
Yeah, I mean, look at LaJuan last year. You know, he came back and he was practicing, and in the coaching staff, while they don't talk about injuries much at all, they would never hint at, well, yeah, maybe he's not ready. And LaJuan, you know, finally got to the regular season, and you could tell, like, he's still thinking about the knee issue. I don't know how Robert Woods recovers from a knee injury, right? Like, that's what's so different with all of it. I think Dupree admitted he maybe came back a little bit too fast. Here's hoping that Woods doesn't feel that way, and they're going to give him all the time. But there is, man, they have a lot. You mentioned the investment on the defensive line. There's a lot invested in Robert Woods. But the bar, I don't know if you guys may think I'm crazy. The bar for him, while I think he's got to be a big hit, I think the standard, perception-wise, is kind of lower than Treylon Burks, because he's being brought in as the injured piece, and all he has to do is do more than what Julio Jones did a year ago. So at least that was the thought, right? Because at the time they still had AJ on the roster. So I think he's kind of been forgotten as a linchpin to their offense, and they need him in September, especially with the way that schedule rolls out. Tannehill, I want to see a rapport with Tannehill and Robert Woods. I want to see that development more than I want to see him and Treylon Burks in September.
Who do they fall back on? Because, you know, you look at it and you say, is it possible that Burks isn't a day one hit? Yeah, you can say it's possible. Same thing with Woods, as we just documented, with the uncertainty of ACLs. I look around and there's a lot of question marks. We talked a lot yesterday on our show about Nick Westbrook-Ikhina. He's a good, solid player, but can he take another step forward? And then You've got the Dez Fitzpatricks and some other guys that didn't get to play much that you're hoping will make a jump, but there's a lot of hoping there.
Yeah, I mean, so the immediate guy I thought of is Austin Hooper. Like, again, I think they've got to get back to their tight end game, which was just a nothing a year ago. That intermediate safety valve game where Tannehill can look for the short to intermediate routes across the middle of the field, either on play action or in shotgun whenever they choose to go empty, whatever it might be. I also think that they can do some things out of the backfield more with who they've drafted and what they can do and what they learn they can do without Henry in the lineup. But, Willie, it's a great point because to me, everybody else behind Burks, behind Woods, are role players. And Nick Westbrook-Akeen, I was asked recently what expectations were coming off of what was a career year for him last year, yards, catches, touchdowns. They just need that from him. He doesn't need to me, within this offense and framework, he does not have to be the next level number two guy. If he plays that role and they get what they should be getting from the guys they've invested in, they're going to be okay. We saw the offense flourish with this style in 2020 and put up some ungodly numbers that we've never seen before from this franchise. That's where Tannehill flourishes. So a lot is hinging on the top two guys and then getting the tight end more of a factor, becoming more of a factor in the offense. If they don't have that game going, to me, it's a run game or bust scenario.
Hutt, final 30 seconds. I just want to get your quick take on how do you think Ryan Tannehill is going to handle this? Because Matt Duchene went through this with the Predators last offseason, right? Like, where has he gone? What the first 2 years of that big contract, no production. What's going on? Where is this? He was left unprotected. Seattle didn't even take him. He responds with a monster year, has a career year, and does what no Predators player has ever done with 43 goals. Ryan Tannehill is, you know, this is not going to be the same offseason that it's ever been. He has already taken a ton of heat. How do you think he's truly going to handle this upcoming season? What do you think he's in store for? Does he respond, or how does he respond? Is it great, or do you see it going the wrong way?
Guys, if we take a step back, here's exactly how this thing plays out. He's going to show up in September, October, November, and December and be the guy that he's been since he took over for Marcus Mariota. To me, there's no pressure on Ryan Tannehill in the regular season.
Okay.
Because he's been a regular season quarterback that plays very well. He's very productive, efficient. Not every game is great, but he helps you win games within the framework of this offense. He's judged based on the postseason. And I don't know if Malik Willis gives him the true push, like the look over the shoulder after training camp, because I think there will be a buzz in the preseason games with Willis. He'll put on a show. But I think they know right now they've got to go through Tannehill. It's in January, Darren, where the pressure is truly on him. Because if he doesn't win, the contract is set up for them either to go with Willis or somewhere else next offseason. And he knows that. That's where the pressure is really mounted, and that's where we have not seen him play his best football. So I think he's going to be fine in the regular season. He'll respond fine in those games.
Then what happens after that? Yep, you're right. Yeah. Good points. Good stuff. Hey, appreciate the visit as always, and we will certainly talk to you down the road. Thanks for doing this.
Yep. Thank you, guys.
Jonathan Hutton, Outkick 360. Good stuff from him. There is news on Treylon Burks. We'll tell you what it is on the other side here on the DDC ESPN 102.5 The Game.
All right, let's talk QC Kinetics. Don't go through another summer with that awful joint pain. Just call QC Kinetics right now. That pain in your back, your knees, your shoulder, it can now be treated with the latest in precision medicine using natural biologics, growth factors that can restore and repair damaged tissue. This is exciting stuff. QC Kinetics is the nation's leader in regenerative medicine, giving you access right here in our listening area to this modern-day joint pain solution. So if you've been told, hey, you got to get steroids or you got to go have a surgery, well, this is an alternative plan that might be the right thing for you. You can get lasting joint pain relief, no drugs, no steroids, no downtime, no surgery. You've heard Emmett Smith giving this message as well. Take action now. Get a free consultation. Powerful, effective joint pain treatments with natural biologics. Call the local medical professionals at QC Kinetics at 615-249-4024. That's 615-249-4024. That's 615-249-4024 for QC Kinetics.
Back here on the DDC, good stuff from Jonathan Hutton. Appreciate that. Hal Gill coming up final hour. Talk Preds with him to begin the final hour. Treylon Burks, according to Field Yates, has reached a new contract agreement with the Titans. Four-year deal, $14.3 million, fully guaranteed with a fifth-year option. That's according to Field Yates. Treylon Burks signs his rookie deal, four-year, $14.3 million, fully guaranteed.
Well, they got 4 years to figure it out, whether he's the guy or not. So,
and I think that's ample time.
Mm-hmm.
You should be able to do that. Time. Yeah. You should be able to do that.
Heck, we should know after the second year, really. Going into the second year. Well, after the second year, I would say.
Mm-hmm. Okay with that deal, fully guaranteed, which is also it's fully guaranteed, fifth-year option.
They guaranteed the fifth-year option already?
No.
They guaranteed the four
years,
but he has a fifth-year
option. Okay, yes, okay. It's fully guaranteed.
I was wondering if that was something. Okay.
Yeah.
Fifth-year team option, yep.
So they really
so
got
that's
it for
customary.
5 years.
Yeah, that's
really
customary with the first-round
pick. Yeah.
Right.
Yep. So I'm going to say this. Mm-hmm. I'm going to push back a little bit on the end there with Jonathan Hutton. And I know it's pretty easy for everybody to say, well, there's no real pressure in the regular season. Like, now it's all shifted to postseason play for Ryan Tannehill. I don't believe that. I don't believe that for a minute. I believe Ryan Tannehill is going to get scrutinized every game. I just do. Even two picks in a win, people will be upset. I just think the corner – there's been a corner turned, okay, by everybody. And it's a new path, okay? You whether the corner was to the left or to the right, you've taken a turn. The fan base has taken a turn on Ryan Tannehill. And I just don't believe everybody's like, hey, it's cool, no pressure. Hey, Ryan. Hey, Tanny, go do what you got to do this regular season. Just get us some wins. We don't really care about whether you throw for 110 yards and two picks. As long as we win, that's fine. I don't believe that. I believe the fan base has turned a corner and they're going down a different road with Ryan Tannehill. And I don't think it's, hey, we'll see you, bud, in January. I don't believe that. Hmm. Because the minute he has a stinker, and let's just say it's against the Colts, you think everybody's going to be like, hey, guys, it's one game, it's the regular season, let's just see what he does in the postseason. No, that's not what the fan base is going to do. That's not what's going to happen. That's not what social media is going to be saying. The minute that game ends, it's going to be, oh, great. This guy, you know, hasn't gotten a lick better, da-da-da-da, and it's just going to go right. I think, like I said, everybody's going down a new road, and I just don't think whatever that road you call, Tannehill Lane, is not of, hey, we'll wait and see. We'll see in January. I just don't believe that.
Sounds like a
I
new
believe
song.
He's going to be heavily scrutinized on every game. You know, I don't want to say every throw. That's a little steep. But every game, he's going to be scrutinized.
Well, this is what I'm worried about. Uh-huh. Let's say the wide receiver position ends up being kind of murky.
Mm-hmm.
And
which it has a high possibility.
Which happened last year when they missed it. When mm-hmm. Even last year when A.J. Brown was hurt, playing hurt. Julio Jones was hurt, playing hurt. You know, you look at the end of the year and you see games missed. What it doesn't show is games where they played but didn't finish the game or played hurt and were compromised. That certainly affected Ryan Tannehill's passing numbers. But the quarterback isn't going to get a pass for that. And he's definitely not going to get a pass this year if the wide receiver position is a mess, which it might be. I hope it's not. They've got a plan, but a lot has to come together for it to be a really good receiving core. Mm-hmm. It's a big reach, a little bit. I mean, I think just objectively, it's a reach. They're really sound in a lot of spots. But that's maybe the least sound position there is. But Tannehill is going to be under that microscope. And if we're sitting here, and I could be the guy doing it. Look, he's a good quarterback. He's not a great quarterback. He needs some help from his wide receivers. And Treylon Burks isn't ready. Or Robert Woods isn't healthy yet. How is he going to make that work?
Well, here's the great thing about Ryan Tannehill is that he don't give a hell what y'all think or what I think, you know?
Well, that might be the best attitude you can have.
But here's the deal. If Ryan plays okay, and say he still has, you know, 12, 13 interceptions, but he's playing good and the Titans are winning, he has no pressure. It's when they step into the playoff, and I agree with Hutton on that. Because now the pressure shifts from the fans, which he don't care what we're saying. He doesn't. And you have to be that way as a quarterback. You can't care what people outside of that building is saying about you. You can't. Because if you did,
think there wasn't a whoa,
you'd be up
after
and
his
down.
Press conference? You don't
think
he feels differently?
No. What I'm saying is this. He doesn't, and when he's in the season, he's not thinking about that. If he was, I don't want him as the quarterback.
Okay, but you're telling me, I'm just asking you, and this is your opinion. After that 17 minutes and all the national media and all the talk here in this market, and I get it, he's done a pretty wonderful job of, one, disappearing, and just it seems like he just tunes everything out. Like he's in his own little Celsius world on a boat. But after that 17-minute press conference, don't you think he walked away going, okay, they may have prepped me for this. I don't think I realized, wow. Like he didn't walk away going, whoa.
He doesn't care.
Things are a little bit different than what I thought.
He doesn't. I'm telling you, Darren, as a quarterback, if he did care and his emotions went up and down because of what Willie, Jared, the fans, whoever, Hutton, whoever was saying about him during the season, I don't want him as my quarterback. I really don't. And that's why I agree with Hutton. When they step into the playoffs, that's when it means something because the people in the building, the people that are making decisions, they want to see now, what are you doing? What are you going to do in the playoffs? That's what all of this is about for the Titans and for Vrabel and John Robinson, because in their minds, they're going to have a good season. And Ryan Tannehill is going to be good enough to get them into the playoffs. It's what is he going to do once he gets there? That's when they start making their decisions. That's when the pressure is going to come. And if he's ousted in the first round and has anything to do with him, that's when he needs to worry. But before then, if they're not saying anything and you don't hear anything come out of that building, he's not worried. He doesn't care what I say. Don't care what you say. Don't care what the fans say. Don't care what TD say. Don't care what Willie or Billy say. Okay? It's if he's playing good, because people, like you said, even if he's playing good, people are going to criticize him because it's going to be a game where he throws two or three interceptions. I guarantee you that. There's going to be that game. Every quarterback has it. Just about every quarterback, unless you're Aaron Rodgers. You don't have that many. But just about every quarterback has that game. It's going to be when this team gets in the playoffs. That's when John Robinson, that's when Mike Vrabel, that's when Amy is going to look at him and say, okay, this is where we find out if you're going to be the quarterback next year or not.
Okay, we'll continue this discussion on the other side. It's really interesting. I thought there was a lot of good points in there. We'll continue this when we come back. Paul in Brentwood, congratulations on being caller 5. Go enjoy that George Thurgood show at the Ryman on Thursday. More DDC next. Back here on the DDC, our show is presented by Spring Hill Heating and Cooling. Spring Hill Heating and Cooling, a York certified comfort expert company. You can schedule now at springhillac.com. Darren McFarland, Willie Donick, and Derek Mason with you. On our text line, Bill asks a really good question. Bill says, it is time for the Midday Show to be rebranded. DDCNM. Keep up the great work. That's a lot, though. That's a lot. That doesn't flow. DDCNM. You know?
Yeah. I mean,
it's like the Pittsburgh Arena. What is it? PP&G Paints. I don't think that flows.
PP&G Paints.
I think we go 3D. Paints. I think we go 3DC.
Yeah, 3DC is probably the best way to do it.
Yeah.
Something that flows, short and flows.
3DC.
I mean, we've been the DDC.
Yeah.
So now we go 3DC.
You've been 3D.
We were 3D, so it's just blending the two.
Yeah. I think blended family, man.
Yeah.
There you go.
3DC.
Yeah. Easy.
Done.
And it's always the awkward, you know, we put you in the 3D Hall of Fame, and then you came back, and it's like awkward, right? Like, we already put you in the Hall of Fame, and now you've made a comeback.
But until my jacket comes, then, you know.
Then I think
it's not official.
Exactly.
Well, I guess it won't be official.
My name's there, my plaque, but the jacket hasn't come.
Ryan down in, speaking of Spring Hill, Ryan in Spring Hill on our text line said, Darren sounded like C-Mace's cool guy twin when he was talking about Tannehill. I'm not sure I catch the reference. Willie, you want to help out with that one?
Wait,
cool guy?
C-Mason's cool guy friend?
Oh, cool guy,
What's the cool guy? What am I?
Cool guy is one of his many characters online.
Oh, C-Mace?
Oh, okay.
That has done some skits.
Oh, okay.
Okay.
Cool guy's there to give you advice. Uh-huh. He's there for life coaching, you know, support. It's an alter ego.
Oh, okay.
Okay.
If you look up C-Mace, you can probably find a skit or two that Cool Guy's involved with. Yeah.
Okay.
Sometimes he's giving advice to himself.
Oh. To C-Mace.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Well, I'll let C-Mace handle Cool Guy. I was just taking a Sunday stroll down Tannehill Lane and, you know, just observing things. And I just don't think it's the same road anymore. I think things have changed. The block has changed.
Of course it has.
You know, it's kind of like Tim Corbin telling us about, you know, going back and playing Arkansas and Fayetteville. Like, the landscape around there has changed. It's different. They haven't been back in, what did he say, it was 5 years? First time back in five, did he say 2017? Is that right?
That's a while.
Did Corb say that?
They only play the West teams,
yeah,
depending how the cycle goes, either two out of three or two out of four.
So I think he said 2017 was the last time they were there.
They were here in 19, so it's been every other season.
That's probably right. So, you know, I just think Tannehill Lane, it's changed. You know, there's been a lot of building, construction, and it's just I just don't buy, and I could be wrong. The vibe I get sitting here in the middle of May is he loses, and heaven forbid if it's right out of the gates. If he plays a crappy game against the Giants at home, oh, boy. Get ready. I don't believe it's going to be, okay, give him a break. It's one game. Let's wait till postseason. I just don't think that's going to be the mentality.
I just believe, judging by what he's done, and again, it's not like – I don't think he's done enough or shown enough that I say he's the guy that's going to get them into the Super Bowl. But hey, there have been a few quarterbacks out there that, you know, didn't display it, but their team still got into the Super Bowl because of other factors and things happening. So if he does get him in the Super Bowl, then great. I will be the first one to come and say, hey, he did it. I didn't think he could, but he did it. But I think the Titans believe he can get them into the Super Bowl. Into the playoffs. I think he can get him into the playoffs. He's proven that he can get him in the playoffs. That's when the clock starts for him. Once they're in the playoffs. I'm not talking about us or the fans. The clock started as soon as the regular season starts.
I was going to say,
for Ryan Tannehill.
Early September.
Exactly. That's what I'm saying. For the fans, that's when it starts. Unless he just bottoms out and the Titans are forced to make a change, then okay, they might do it. But if they're not forced into making a change and he's playing good and he gets them into the playoffs, That's when the Ryan Tannehill clock starts for the Tennessee Titans. If he gets there and they're out in the first round or in the second round, he won't be the quarterback after that, moving forward. That's just my opinion. But if he gets them in the Super Bowl, all bets are off after that.
Well, I understand really what you're saying about the franchise. Like, that makes sense. Mm-hmm. But who's, you know, the franchise is, we know they always look at things differently than the fans. I'm telling you, the noise in this market and on our show, on this station, on social media, is if he just comes out of the gates and he just looks very, very average against what we all will deem as a below-average Giants team. Yeah, they've got a new coach in Daboll. But everybody's going to view – they should be a pretty sizable favorite, right? They're not going to be a one-point favorite against the Giants on opening day at home. And they just come out, and it's kind of a lackluster performance by him. And they win by, you know, a field goal. I'm just telling you, people are going to be chirping. They are not going to be like, hey, it's a win. That's cool. Oh, man, can't wait for this big Monday night game against Buffalo. Yeah, Tannehill will be better. Like, that's just not how it's going to work, in my opinion. I believe that the Wolves and the Hounds are going to be out the whole season scrutinizing him. And every bad game that he has, it's going to be loud. Because, you know, one, typically that's how it works. Mm-hmm. The group that's the angriest is usually the loudest. It doesn't mean they're the masses. It just means they're the loudest. And they'll be loud on social media. They'll be loud on this radio station. So I just – that's my only pushback. And who knows? Maybe Ryan Tannehill comes out and has a season like he did – what was that, in year two, right? Where he – what was it, 33-7? Mm-hmm. I mean, maybe. Maybe he does that. And obviously it'll be pretty quiet then. But he's going to have a big year with few mistakes to have a quiet year, in my opinion, in the regular season. By the way, Tony in Murfreesboro on our text line says, how about 4DC and Dennis Rodman? Actually, that was Tony. Or that was Troy, not Tony. So, Troy, good stuff on our text line. We'll come back, wrap up the third hour of 4DC next here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Hal Gill, a.k.a. Skillsy, coming up to begin the final hour. So we'll get into Preds and hockey with him coming up at 1 o'clock. Matt in Nashville on our text line, driven by Wilson County Hyundai.com, says, how about D-cubed in the suit? It's not bad.
D-cube in the suit.
Yeah. D-cubed in the suit. How about this from Paul on our text line? If anyone, he says, he said, Darren, if anyone holds up a sign to get Tannehill to throw them a football, Willie's going to be mad.
I don't think I relayed my list very well. It didn't go over very well. I had a lot of people go, what are you talking about with the signs? What's wrong with you?
And then he ended it with go Reds.
Yeah, I didn't present that one very well. It's like a comedian that's got a really good joke, a funny thing, and then you just try to deliver the joke and it doesn't come out right. It bombs. My list bombed.
Yeah. There you go. Sometimes it happens that way.
Yeah. Can't be perfect. It's radio. It's live. Got one shot, man. You can't tape it and do it over.
Nope. It's got one shot to prove you're worthy.
It's not a podcast.
It's not.
It's live.
It is live. We'll do it live.
That's right. It turns into a podcast, but it's live, man. Mm-hmm. When it rolls, it's on.
Brian in Smyrna says, just call it 3D and on a rare occasion, C. Yeah, that's
3D and C.
Andrew from Dover wants to put me on the spot, so here goes. Says, Darren, I want to put you on the spot for a minute. Do you think D. Mace deserves to be a Hall of Fame player? Well, Andrew, we certainly have addressed that on this show many, many times in the past. And, yes, I do. I've been pretty consistent with that message over the years. And We used to go down. Look, the special teams element is really, I think, what gets kind of tossed to the side, which is incredibly unfair, considering the high level that you did. Forget, you know, the wide receiver stats can hold their own, especially how many 1,000-yard seasons you had. But the special teams element should not go unnoticed. I know special teams is not valued as much today, but it was certainly a lot more valuable back when you played. Mm-hmm. And I think that is underlooked. I don't think that gets its just due. So, Andrew, for me, that's a pretty easy question. It's a yes. But the system is what it is, and one person from this market has to basically present Derek. That's how it works. I think there's, panel of 50, mm-hmm. 50 riders, I think.
I don't even know who they are. Well, I know, obviously.
John McClain
has
been on that panel for a long time. Peter Keene has been on that panel for a long time. And John McClain is the one that really pushed for Warren Moon and got it through. But, there's a lot of politics, and I know – Paul Kaharsky has been – then it was David Clymer for a long time, right, Willie?
Yep,
it was Clymer who represented this market for a long time as one of the members in that room. And then since we lost David, unfortunately, Paul Kaharsky has been that for I don't know how long. And I suspect he still is, right, I think? I don't know that for –
I don't know
that for certain. Mm-hmm.
I don't know the answer. I would only add to the discussion by saying I feel like, and of course, are we biased on this show? Yeah, we're biased towards D-Mace. But I feel like when I look at the stats and I look at how the stats age, mm-hmm. how the game evolves, I think there was a time where you look at D-Mace's numbers as a whole, and maybe they weren't eye-popping, but you look at a Cliff Branch who gets in just this past year, and you have this notion of, well, everybody gets 1,000 yards every year and blah, blah, blah. I think your stats, especially when you put it relative to the era you played in, the offenses you played for, I think they age well. Mm-hmm. There are a lot of Hall of Famers in different sports. It took a long time before people came around to appreciating that player. And they finally get in after a long, long time. Baseball is full of examples like that. I think sometimes as the numbers get circulated and then recirculated, some people come around collectively to, hey, that's a Hall of Famer right there. So that's what I'm hoping happens with you. And I'll give you an example. Who was it? Was it Alan Trammell that just got in from the Tigers?
Mm-hmm.
Took him a long time. And then people are like, you know what? Lou Whitaker was just as good as Alan Trammell. Why is it taking, and I think eventually you'll get him. It's a cycle. It happens different ways for different people when it's not completely obvious. There's always that group that's just, hey, first
well,
mile, he's going to get
I mean, it. There are guys that should be in the Hall of Fame that they should be no-brainers. First guy that comes to mind, there's two guys that come to mind for me. One is Henry Eller. Henry Eller, there should be no reason why Henry Eller's not in the Hall of Fame. His Hall of Fame numbers are better than 90% of the Hall of Fame receivers, probably even more than that. His numbers are better than their numbers. Why he's not in, have no idea. Like, completely. And his numbers, like you said, his numbers age with time.
Yes.
They age well with time. If you look at his numbers, you're like, why isn't it? And another one is Jimmy Smith. Jimmy Smith is another guy that needs to be on the Hall of Fame. But for some reason, he's not. But you see other guys at other positions making it with less numbers.
What do you like about Jimmy Smith's game that you think he belongs in Canton?
Jimmy was for the period of time, I'd say about a 4-year period, he was the best wide receiver in the National Football League.
Okay.
He was a hard cover. There was no one that could guard him in the National Football League. Put anyone up against him, It was just, and granted, they had some great teams those years too. Brunell at quarterback, Fred Taylor at running back, Bruselli,
Keenan McCardell.
I think those two were one of the greatest 1-2 punches in the National Football League when it comes to receivers. I would put their numbers up against any combination of receivers that play with each other for a period of time. Now, they only play with each other, I think, for like three, four years. But their numbers stacked up well against any trio of combo of receivers. But Jimmy forced defenses to change in how they approach that position. You couldn't guard him with one person. It was hard to guard him with two. You had to focus your whole secondary on Jimmy Smith. And he balled out no matter what.
9,000-yard-plus seasons. Nine.
And then he had 274 yards versus the best, many probably would consider the best defense ever behind the Chicago Bears defense, that 85 Bear defense. He put up those numbers against that vaulted Baltimore defense that was so good. He put up 274 yards and three touchdowns. People barely got over 100 yards receiving against that secondary. He put up 274 with three touchdowns. He was doing things then that guys are doing now. He was just, he was the total package when it comes to receivers.
Interesting. Joe on our text line wants to know, Derek, if you went in, would you go in as a Titan or a Raven? I don't think they do that.
You don't
that
go
in.
In
a,
yeah,
you don't go in. That's like baseball. That's a baseball thing.
You just
thing,
go in, yeah.
I think baseball is the only one that does it that way because you have a hat on.
Exactly.
You have a hat on with the logo of your of the team on there, so you kind of have to do it that way.
Yeah, and in football, basketball,
they don't have the bus with your helmet on.
I was going to say, do you – my question would be, do you go in with a bus with hair or without hair? Which one would you prefer?
Oh, definitely without hair.
Without hair, okay.
Exactly.
Willie would want the full flow.
Yeah,
I'm
he would
sure.
want the full flow. Oh, my goodness. Back,
like, fortunately, you wear a hat. For
they'd be like, Billy, when did they take that picture?
1991.
Exactly.
All right, we'll come back. We'll start the final hour with Skillsy. Hal Gill joins us next.
Hey guys, it is Ryan. For years, Chumba's been setting the bar for online social casino fun, and it just keeps getting better. With new games released every week and daily bonuses to collect, the fun never stops. So claim your welcome bonus now at chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 21 plus.
Spring is sprung, and big savings are in full bloom at Menards. Visit Menards Garden Center for everything you need to get your garden growing. Choose from hundreds of beautiful, colorful flowers, lush trees and shrubs, and everything in between. Menards Garden Center is back in bloom. Stop in today to get your garden on. Check out fresh deals happening now at Menards.
Save big money at Menards.
Spring is sprung, and big savings are in full bloom at Menards. Visit Menards Garden Center for everything you need to get your garden growing. Choose from hundreds of beautiful, colorful flowers, lush trees and shrubs, and everything in between. Menards Garden Center is back in bloom. Stop in today to get your garden on. Check out fresh deals happening now at Menards.
Save big.